Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode. My name is Chris. I'm the campus pastor here at South Hills Costa Mesa. Good morning. Happy Super Bowl. I've got my Super Bowl team spirit on. That's what I got. We are in a series called First Comes Love, kind of pulling apart the old nursery rhyme that you used to hear on playgrounds and things like that. And we're talking about love and dating and marriage and everything in between. And last week we started off, we talked about sex last week. Everyone made it out alive and a lot of people came back. So I guess that's a good thing. And we're going into, we're talking about today. It's a little bit interesting. You know, I don't know if you were here last week, maybe you picked up on it. You know, there's this idea, we talked about sex and what does it look like outside of marriage and inside of marriage and the importance that we put on this. And I feel like oftentimes we just put things in one compartment. Like, we're only going to talk about sex when it has to do with people that shouldn't be having it. And then we're going to talk about dating today. And so there's this idea that it might be easy for us to kind of fall into this trap or this notion of thinking, well, we're going to talk about dating, but I'm not dating. I'm happily single, or I'm married, or, you know, I went down that path and I'm divorced. I'm never looking back, or whatever category you might find yourself in. But really, this is not actually just for people that are dating or that are interested in it. I think there's a lot that we can learn and we can choose to not only grow from, but also be challenged by this morning. So I hope that we're all able to tune in to this conversation as a whole. You know, when I think of love, besides 90s R&B, the other thing that I think of when I think of true love is The Bachelor, which is back, everybody. So it's just so funny. You know, 30 women, one man. It sounds like the beginning to like a UFC fight. And some episodes are similar to UFC fights. There's a lot of drama. But it's interesting, you know, people talk about this idea of finding the one, and if you watch The Bachelor, which obviously I do, they talk all the time, you know, these women, they interview them after they have this date, and they're like, I feel like we really have a unique connection, just like the other 29 women all feel like they have this unique connection, and it's crazy, and it happens, you know, whether it's The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, there's just this weird kind of pursuit of the one, the soulmate, this idea that there is only one perfect person out there for me, and I have to find that person. And honestly, it creates stress and anxiety and fear, and there's a lot of trepidation. Is that a word? Yes. Trepidation. Thank you. English major. There's a lot of trepidation about this idea of like, man, I don't want to make the wrong choice. I don't want to miss out on something better, even though I think that this is something great. And we get locked into this idea, the idea of there being a one out there, a soulmate, is actually, it comes from Greek mythology. Greek mythology talks about kind of the dawn of man and this idea that humans were originally created with four arms and four legs and two faces, and that the gods were intimidated by their power and their beauty. And so Zeus split them in half so that everyone would only be half a person and that they would be weaker in that sense. And so there's this idea of this pursuit of my other perfect half really comes out of this kind of mythological perspective, this ancient idea. And I think it's just really led into a lot of the ways that a lot of people think that there is a person out there that is able to fulfill and be like the other perfect half of who I am. And this is not an accurate understanding of who we are. It's not an accurate understanding of who you are. You, as an individual, are a whole person. You are a complete person with value and dignity and beauty and impact and power and purpose. There is nothing that is lacking. There's no sort of deficit in being single. In fact, throughout the scriptures, we talked about this a little bit last week, there's a lot of examples of singleness and the value and the importance of singleness. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was single, for example. So some of you are very Christ-like in that way. But Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was also single. And multiple times he talked about how it's good, it's beneficial, there's strength, there's things that you get to do as a single person that you no longer get to do as a married person. And actually, in some passages, he talks about how you can't even serve Jesus as much if you're married, because you are tied to and connected to this other person in your life, a husband or a wife or whatever it may be. So he talks about the value of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we read this last week. He says, "But I say to unmarried, to the unmarried and to widows, that it is good for them if they remain even as I." Even as I is his way of saying, you know, everybody is aware, me, I, Paul, am single, and it's great to stay that way. If you are unmarried or if you are a widow, it's great to stay that way. Now, it's just worth noting, I think, that he's talking about this idea of the value for widows to stay unmarried, and that was an insane concept. Because widows could not make their own money, they had no social standing, they had nobody to speak on their behalf. Culture was very different and in a lot of ways very similar, that there was just like this way lopsided kind of patriarchal aspect of relationships. And so for Paul to say to widows, you should stay single, is his way of saying there's a new reality at play. There's a new family. And Paul uses that word family all the time. The community of believers, the followers of Jesus, we are a family. And if you are a widow, you don't have to just get married so that you can have someone. Because you have someone's. There's a community of people here with you. If you are single, you don't have to just find somebody else to kind of fill out your social needs. There's this reality of strength and wholeness that comes in community. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody wants to be single. Some people do, some people don't. And my point is in articulating this is that actually either way, there is goodness available and there is goodness possible, and neither of these things are actually at a deficit. I've seen single people do incredible things and take incredible advantage of their singleness. And again, this is something that Paul talks about, the ways you're able to serve and respond to what God's calling you to do and pursue passions and goals and all these types of things. And one of our good friends, Jen, I've known her for, oh my gosh, I don't know, 16, 15 years, something like that. And ever since I've known her, she's always had a desire to be married, but just never could find a reasonable person to date and marry. But she just was so committed to this idea that she wasn't going to wait to start her life for this other thing to happen. That in exactly who she was, she could begin pursuing her dreams and passions. And she did that. She started careers. She bought her own home. She had always been passionate about being foster parents. When she got married, she wanted to, whoever she married to, they wanted to be foster parents. And she didn't wait for that either. She went through the process and became a foster mom on her own. It's incredible the things that she was able to do. And there's a lot of women that I know that have actually taken advantage of this, and very few guys, and I'm a guy, I'm gonna say this, and I don't like to just rip on guys a lot, but the reality is that it seems like guys are just pretty content to wait and see what happens. Just like, yeah, I'm gonna take care of myself and figure it out, and my life will begin once I find that other person, once I take that next step. The gift of singleness is the ability that you have to actually lean into becoming healthy and whole and pursuing passions and callings and doing what God's called you to do without having to worry about another person that you are responsible for or responsible to, maybe more accurately. Paul's articulating this idea that, you know, relationships, there's beauty and it takes work. Work, effort, time. It's not something worth rushing into just to be in one, because it takes time and intentionality and effort, and it takes energy and focus from us. It's not a bad thing, but it's also not an easy or a simple thing. So I think there's a question for us, and when it comes to this idea of dating, there's a question that has to do with what does it look like for me to look for the right person? What does it look like for me to pursue the right kind of person? What types of things should I be looking at? And again, I just want to say, this is as much for for single people and for people that are dating and engaged and married and whatever category you may be in, this is for all of us. I heard somebody say, I don't remember who it was, but I've always remembered it, and I say it basically at every wedding that I officiate. The wedding day is closer to the starting line of dating than it is the finish line of dating. There is this intentionality and pursuit that regardless of whether you are dating or whether you are married, that should exist in the relationship. Once you are married, it's not like foot off the gas, cruise control, we're just going to run with this for a couple decades and see how it goes. So as we talk about these things, I just want to make sure that this is not about only single people. This is actually about all of us, and it's an invitation for us to look inward. There's a scripture in Proverbs. It's actually written to a single person, a son who is a prince. And his mother wrote to him and told him what he should be looking for in a spouse. As Proverbs 31 is a passage a lot of people may be familiar with or you may have heard. A lot of people feel like it's an impossible standard. A lot of people kind of roll their eyes when you talk about Proverbs 31 and feel like there's a lot of really specific instructions and directions for women, but there's not really anything for men. And as I talk about this passage, I want to look at this, but I want to look at it because I think it works as a guide of what to look for in a partner. It is written to a son, but I don't know that it necessarily is only for what to look for in a wife. I think that it actually works both ways. I think it's a guide that is able to help illustrate and kind of highlight crucial things. And as we read this, I really think that you'll see this same thing as well. So Proverbs 31, I'm going to read it to you. There's nothing as inappropriate in it as the passage that we led last week. So I know. Aww, no fun. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable and her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fibers. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders." It's like really letting husbands off the hook here. It's like, it does say one thing about her husband here. It's like, and he sits with other men. Okay. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her, and her husband praises her. There he is. He gets a point. Her husband praises her. Everybody read that together. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all, is what he says to her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Now, again, this is written to a son, a prince, about the type of person that he should be looking for. But if we're honest, and if you go through this week and you look at this passage, there's a lot in here that regardless of whether you are a man or a woman, there's a lot in here that you're like, I'd love to have someone like that in my life. I would love to find a person like that. I would love to find someone that is able to work, someone that is able to pursue their goals. And honestly, in this passage, there's so much in here that kind of is outside of the stereotypical norms that we think of. It's not only celebrating and honoring the work that she does in the home, but it talks about her buying fields and using her own income to plant vineyards and to pursue these things. There's this celebration of all that she is, and this husband is honoring her for that. And I think there's this invitation for us to look at this passage and begin to wonder, what kind of intentionality do I have in who I'm looking for, in the person that I'm looking for, in the person that I'm hoping I can end up with one day? What does it mean for me to look for these things? And I think the bigger question that I want to ask, and the thing that I hope we'll all kind of hold on to and walk away with today, is while we're looking, what do I need to do to become that kind of person? The way that we've said it in the past is, are you the kind of person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Are you the kind of person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Or for my married friends, are you the kind of spouse that you wish your spouse was? Are you showing up in those ways? Are you engaging? Are you talking? Are you growing? Are you leaning in? We're going to talk about this. Are you the kind of person that the person you're looking for is looking for? I always do my best to not lie into a microphone as a pastor. And so, especially when it's broadcast on the internet. Hi, online friends. I try and be as honest as I can, and I think it's important for me to articulate that I spent years and years and years in failed relationships. It is very hard for me to acknowledge and to live with the reality that I have a trail of broken relationships in my past. And as I look back at them, it's because I was always looking for the right person, and I never was ever once trying to become the right person. Never one time. And it destroyed relationships and hurt people. And I hate that. It grieves me. It's honestly, it is a pain point for me that I was so oblivious to who I was and so focused on who someone else should be. And I want to say that because I'm married now, and it doesn't mean that I get to stop being oblivious or start being, again, oblivious to who I am. There's an intentionality that continues in realizing, who am I? Who am I now? Who am I becoming? It's an important thing for us to talk through. Even if the kids are having a blast next door, we can still have a conversation about this. I say this every once in a while. Nothing makes me happier than hearing kids laugh and have fun at church. Like, if anybody's like, oh, I wonder if he's bothered by that, I never am, okay? You guys need to be more quiet, but the kids can be... I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Are you the kind of person that the person you're looking for is looking for? I want to look at just a couple of verses in this Proverbs 31 passage. And again, this is not just about a wife. This is about the types of things that we're looking for, the types of things that are valuable and crucial in a partner. Verse 10, it starts off. It says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Who can find? There's this searching idea. And one of the things that I hear a lot from my single friends and my friends that are dating is that it seems like there is a real shortage of worthwhile people to date. And if you feel that way, I just want you to know that is not a new problem. Literally, the queen is talking to her son about how rare and how difficult it is to find someone worth dating, to find someone worth pursuing. It has always been a challenge. And so while you may have some things that you need to work on, it's not specifically a you problem. It's that anything that is valuable because it's not common. There is something special and rare in it, and that's what gives it its value. And you also can't find something that you're not looking for. There's not going to be a lady, a woman who knocks on your door while you're sitting at home playing video games because she heard an awesome guy lives there. It's like you have to get up and do some things. You have to say, hey, here's who I'm becoming. Here's the things I'm pursuing. Here's what I'm passionate about. Here's what I feel called to. And this word calling, I say it a lot, and it's not just a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing, but it's not like external. It's internal. This is what I have to pursue. What does it look like for us to actually become mobile in the way that we are looking and searching and not just waiting for people to show up, but to actually go out and find a virtuous and capable wife or husband? The truth is, sometimes it takes a while. And so there's a couple things here I want to look at. This first thing, what does it look like that I should be searching for? We need to find someone who lives with integrity and demonstrates responsibility. I think that as I get older and as I see more and more, and I feel like there's also just this aspect that because of social media and everything, it's like we just are more aware of more things than ever before. And I mean, if there's a lack of anything, it feels like there's just a massive lack of integrity in so many people around the world. And we all have moments where we're all broken. We all have these things that we struggle with. But what does it look like to find someone who lives with integrity and demonstrates responsibility? Character is attractive, and it matters when you're joining your life with someone, which is good news because you can always improve your character. It's one of the few things that you really can continue to change about yourself. You can continue to grow and become more virtuous. You can become a better person and continue seeing growth and transformation happen through your own activities and through the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your mind. And you do that by developing healthy habits and by overcoming obstacles, which doesn't necessarily sound sexy or exciting, but what it produces is sexy and exciting. People that are able to lean in and do hard work and pursue things and do what they say they're going to do and live the way that they claim that they're going to live. We want to be with someone who doesn't just give up or abandon their goals or dreams when they're faced with challenges or disappointments, because life is full of both. But it's worth it. The passage says that they're more precious than rubies. You cannot put a price tag on integrity, on responsibility. Verse 11 goes on. I'm not going to read all these verses. Don't worry if you're counting and keeping track. It's like, wait, that was 10. And now he's at 11. There's 31 of these things. Proverbs 11 and 12 says, her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. I think one of the things that I pull from this is that we need to find someone who makes everything they get involved with better. There's like this enrichment that shows up. We all know someone, and we all know people maybe that when they show up to a room or to a place or to the office or whatever it is, it's like, man, it is just so much better when they're around than when they're not around. And maybe you've got like a work friend who every once in a while takes a vacation, and it's like, well, this is going to be a terrible week because the only other person I like is not here. So, but there's this reality that we all know people that make things better when they show up. They're positive and proactive. You feel excited and relieved. They light up the room. They lighten the load. They're not satisfied just kind of sitting on the sidelines. They want to jump in and encourage others, even if there's difficult things or mundane things. I'm not sure how much I've talked about my wife, Ez, and I's dating relationship. When we met, we were both dating other people, and it was not scandalous. But we weren't necessarily, like, in the best relationships, but we knew each other for about a year before those people that shall not be named kind of went the way of the dinosaur. So, but I say that because when I met Ez, I had the same experience that probably most of you have had. She's awesome. It's like, it's so nice showing up here on a Sunday and seeing her out there. She's always smiling and excited. And it's not because she pretends like life is perfect. It's because she knows that it's not. She's willing to show up and stay committed and lean in and care for people and serve others. And it's not just the fun stuff. We were just talking with some friends yesterday. She was like, yeah, there was a lady who was giving me a hard time because I didn't introduce myself as the pastor's wife. And she said, like, that's a place of honor. You should embrace that. And she's like, well, it doesn't feel like a place of honor when I'm also cleaning up throw up from, you know, the parking lot because kids get sick. But there's this reality of it's like, man, it's all of it. It's all of it. And how do we show up in the midst of the good and the bad? How do we show up in the midst of the everyday life? And there's only one way to know if someone is genuinely that kind or if they're just trying to trick you long enough to get into a relationship with you. And that's time. You have to spend time with people and see them over time. And we didn't do this on purpose, but I knew her for about a year before we started dating. And because we were dating other people, we weren't trying to impress each other. And so over time, I saw her with her family, with her friends. I saw the way she dealt with difficult things and positive things. And it was one of the greatest gifts. And I can speak highly about her all day long. And I'm still not totally sure why she landed on me. But this is, we're just going to roll with the punches here. But what does it look like for us to find someone who makes everything that they get involved with better? They enrich the experience. They are trustworthy. They bring good with them. Verse 25, it says, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Find someone with a reputation for being confident and lighthearted. It says they're clothed with strength and dignity. There's this idea, it's like you see what people are clothed with. You see what they're wearing. When they show up, it's there, it's visible. And so when you look at this person, what you're looking for is someone that wears this sense of confidence, this sense of being comfortable with who they are, the sense of not that they have it all figured out or have all the answers, but they have the ability to continue moving forward in the direction, moving towards that North Star in their life of where they've oriented themselves to move towards. It's obvious to the people that see that this person knows who they are. The future doesn't make them nervous. This is, in spite of what happens, strive to be someone who believes that the best is yet to come. And being confident doesn't mean that you're never discouraged. It doesn't mean that you never are intimidated or fearful. It just means that you don't withdraw or run from those things, but you continue to step into it and step towards it. This verse, the story goes on in verse 30. Made a big jump there, if anybody's keeping track. Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And again, any of these, I think that you could change the pronoun in any single one of these verses. A man who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. A woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. There's this reality that, what does it look like for us to find someone that's more interested in pleasing God than presenting themselves well? Now, before you get bothered, this is not license to just be a slob. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But there is this wisdom that comes in Proverbs that says that there is something externally which is charming and beautiful, but there is something internal that is much more valuable and much more important. One of the things a couple weeks ago, I don't remember who it was. It feels like it's a constant stream of celebrity scandals and breakups and all these different types of things. My wife made a comment, which was just so fascinating to me because it wasn't really something that I had thought of before. I wish I could remember which couple it was, but she said, I mean, the crazy thing is, it's like, he cheated on her, but she's literally a supermodel.
You're talking about Adam Levine, I think.
Sure. Yeah. There's probably a list. Yeah. And we got a testimony from the back. I'm just kidding. Yeah. It probably was. But there's this reality where it's like in her mind, there was something that registered is like, it actually has nothing to do with looks. And if you think about it, it's like, obviously we want to be with someone that we're attracted to, but attractiveness doesn't actually make a relationship strong. That alone, that is not the thing. There's something internally that has to be cultivated and looked after and grown and intentional movement and change and spending time. There's this reality that the external aspects, while it is great to be attracted to people, and I think that that is something that is valuable and that God created attraction for a purpose, that alone is not going to make it work. We have got to be able to become the right kind of people internally. And when you're in a relationship, there's an internal journey and a discussion and a decision and a commitment to growing and committing to another person. It's so crucial. Find someone that is interested in pleasing God, that recognizes who they need to be and how they want to get to that place. Someone who invests more in their character than in their looks. Make it your aim to be with someone who's better on the inside than they are on the outside. And they can be great on the outside. Like me. Yeah, hear it. I'm not saying. I'm just saying, what does it look like for us to value and prioritize the right things in a relationship? It's so crucial for us to be able to look through this lens of understanding what we're looking for. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he says this verse that some of us may be familiar with. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. There's this reality where Jesus is articulating this idea. He's not talking about dating here, but he's saying, seek first God's kingdom. And he's not saying this like this distant heaven place that will end up sometime. He's saying, seek first to live the way that God has desired and called and calling us to live now. Show up in the relationships with love, with gentleness, with forgiveness. Serve the people around you. Be willing to lay yourself down for others. These are the things that we're called to do. And it says that God will provide us with what we need. Like I said, I think that these are things that we should be looking for and a lens that we can look through for people that are on this journey. But also, while we are looking, work to become what we hope to find in another person. A partnership is only as healthy as the people that are in it. There's a writer and an author, and he said, there's no such thing as marriage problems. There's just single person problems that you take into marriage. There's just this reality of our own individual brokenness. And obviously, when you're in a relationship with someone, those things butt heads a lot more than if you're not. But what does it look like for me to actually grow as an individual, to become healthy as an individual? And again, I know that not everyone in here is single. There's a lot of people that are married, and this is not an opportunity for you to check out and just say, okay, well, I've already made it past that hurdle. We get frustrated with our partners, with our spouse. We wonder, man, it would be great. Our marriage would be great if they could just, or if they would just, if they could stop. Or if they could start, there's a sense of like, man, if they could figure this out, then our relationship would be great. I'm great. It's with them is the problem. But again, there's this invitation for us to look inward and wonder, am I really as healthy as I could be? Am I really doing the things? Am I living the way? Am I loving the way that I need to love my spouse? Is a question for everyone, whether you are single or engaged or married or divorced. Am I focusing more on finding or changing someone else or on working on myself? Because, spoiler alert, you can't change anyone else. Like, you can't do it. As much as we try and hope and wait, you cannot change someone else. But there is an invitation for each of us to grow and to become transformed and made whole and healed. So what does that look like? I want to give just three kind of buckets to think through this lens from. And as I was getting ready for this week, I was thinking about this. And honestly, it was like a little bit challenging for me. And I was like, man, I want to make sure that I'm putting these things in the right categories as well. I want to make sure that I'm putting effort into these things as well. So it's kind of three different intentional areas where you could start in this journey. One is to heal from the past. One is to prepare for the future. And then the third would be to be wise in the present. This first one, heal from the past. What does it look like to truly become intentional and put in some effort and time and work to becoming healed and whole from things that you've experienced in your life? Becoming aware of how your childhood affected you or the family that you were raised in. Maybe some of the habits or the ways of being that you've not really noticed or chosen. It's just been something that kind of you grew up inside of. And you can say, hey, I don't actually think that this is the kind of husband or this is the kind of wife or this is the kind of partner that I want to be. I think I want to do things differently. I want to experience wholeness through there. Maybe it's processing through trust issues connected to previous relationships. There's a lot of healing from our past that is so crucial for us. There's a quote, I didn't think of this or put it in my notes, so I'm probably going to butcher it. You may have seen it. I've seen it online a number of times. But if you don't heal from your past, you will bleed on others or something. Google it. That's gross, Chris. Heal from your past. The second one is prepare for your future. What does it mean to take the time right now, exactly where you are, single or not? What does it look like to prepare for the future? Not just wait for something to magically happen in the future, but to put in time and effort. Work on getting out of debt or towards an investment or a business or a ministry or whatever it might be. Build something. Spend time pursuing these things that you want to see experienced in your future. Establish healthy habits now. It will never get easier. work towards the future that you actually long to see. And then the third one is to be wise in the present. Don't missionary date. Have you guys heard of this phrase, missionary dating? I don't know if it's still that common of a phrase, but we were always told when I was in high school, it was like, don't missionary date, which is like dating with the hope that you'll convince them to become a Christian if they're not already a Christian. You know, this reality of like, man, find someone who actually currently shares the same values that you have, that shares the same faith that you have, someone who is going to cheer and celebrate for you to make decisions on the core values that you have. Don't partner up with someone who's always going to be pulling another way. Scripture talks about it in this term of a yoke, not eggs. I know we're all fascinated with eggs right now and how expensive they are, but a yoke that you would put on oxen and it would bind two together, and you would want to find two that kind of walked at the same pace, that wanted to work together and go in the same direction, because if one tried to pull, they would always get off course. If they went slower than the other one, there's a sense of, how do I find someone who's moving the same direction, has the same values, and is even moving on some level at the same pace that I'm moving? Be wise in the present. Be honest about who you are and what you want. Deal with conflict. Learn how to talk through problems and arrive at solutions in healthy ways. And I think that one of the most crucial things that any of us can do, regardless of what stage of life you're at or what relationship stage you're at, is to find other people in your life that you can talk to that have a healthy perspective. Maybe it's people that are in a similar scenario. Maybe it's people that are down the road from you. Maybe it's people that have experienced some of the pitfalls. They can help guide you through these things. But so often we just kind of use our own experience and go it alone. It is not the best way to do this. I've told you guys before, we go to Disneyland a lot. We do season passes for our family for Christmas, and we go pretty regularly. And I still follow these Disney like influencers on Instagram, which is like a whole subculture. Okay, it's like a whole nother thing. But even though we go really regularly, there's other people that go more than I do, and they know things that I don't know. They post about different meals or restaurants or rides or when something's going to open or what lines are not worth it or what little hacks and tips and tricks. And even though we go all the time, there's still deep value in me learning from other people. And so regardless of whether you are single or dating or married or whatever it is, there's value in you finding people to be with in your life that are on this road. Maybe they're further ahead. Maybe they have experience. Maybe they have whatever it is, but you can speak to them and listen to their input, their feedback, their guidance. Proverbs is full of wisdom statements and wisdom lessons. And in Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. There's this reality where what the writer is trying to get us to understand is, man, if we just take our own idea and just try our best, we will experience failure. We'll make the same mistakes again. But when we bring in other people that are able to see things that we can't see and give us advice that we wouldn't have on our own, it helps us experience health. And I think in our relationships, this is true. That's why we talk about the importance of getting into a small group. We talk about the importance of building connections and community and relationships. This is why we talk about things like the marriage course, which we started a couple weeks ago, and there's these couples that are saying, hey, I don't have it all figured out, and so we're gonna do this process so we can continue to learn and continue to grow. We don't have to figure it out on our own. I think back to this verse that we started with when Paul was talking to the unmarried people and the widows, and I don't know that we fully understand the immense weight of what he was saying. The gift of relief that he was articulating of saying, you don't have to find someone to make you whole or so that someone can take care of you. There is a gift in the church of Jesus and the people around you that you get to rely on and partner with and lock arms with and have this sense of community with. I wonder what it would look like for us as individuals, us in our singleness or in our dating, us in our marriage, whether it's 5 years or 20 years or 40 years, to say, hey, I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm going to rely on the people in my community for health and encouragement to help continue moving forward in the direction that I want to move. Let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, mine included, every single person here, because I know that the invitation is for us to continue leaning forward, to continue opening ourselves up, to be seen as for who we are, to recognize that there are areas where I have strengths and gifts, and there's areas where I have weaknesses and blind spots. God, I pray that you would help each one of us recognize where we land in this space. For some of us, we are in a stage where we are searching and looking and trying to find a partner, someone to live life with and to pursue a relationship with. And I pray that you would help anyone that's in that space. I pray that you would help them have a very specific filter of the type of person that they're looking for, intentionality, and that filter would line up with what you have called us to pursue in our relationships, what a healthy relationship, a healthy person looks like. God, for some of us, we're in relationships, we're engaged, or we're married, and I pray that you would help each one of us recognize that it's not an opportunity to slow down or to not care or to not pay attention, but even more that we could lean in to becoming whole and healed and healthy people. That we would work on continuing to grow as individuals, recognizing that will make our marriages and our relationships healthier. God, I pray that rather than looking outward and hoping that other people get it figured out and other people fix their own issues, that we would recognize that you are inviting each of us to experience healing, wholeness, and transformation. There's some things that we can do on our own, and there's so much that we cannot do without you. Scripture tells us that your Spirit transforms our heart and our mind, renews our hearts and our minds. You're not interested in erasing the DNA of who we are, but you're all about helping us experience the wholeness and the goodness that you originally intended for us to experience. And I pray that we would lean into that. God, would our community as a church, as we use Jesus as our North Star of what we're all moving towards, would we be able to cheer each other on and support each other on this journey? And I'm grateful for the wisdom that we get to read and experience and the wisdom that we get to learn from each other. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.